Okay, good evening, brothers and sisters. Just a big good thank you. I want to thank Pastor James for the kind introduction. In fact, we were working together in the same office. He was sitting almost like next to me. we discussed a lot of things. We talked a lot about things. And it's good that we are here today, sitting together in this meeting. Now, last month was a bit unfortunate because what happened to Melbourne, and the whole world knows about it. And well, our people here have been praying for the city of Melbourne. And a lot of chat group has been passing prayers around for the safety of the people, you know. So God bless you, and God kept you together for the people of Australia. God bless you. I hope tonight, and I begin to share, you will have some insight and some understanding of some of the things I'm going to say. I will bring some live testimony to you, but shall we begin right now? Okay. Speak to your mountain. Now, this is the message that Jesus, I think he only said one time, to speak to your mountain and it shall be removed. So some of us will be thinking that it's a physical mountain, but a mountain could be anything. Your issues, your problems, and speak to your issues and speak to your problems. There are many types of problems that we have. Every one of us sitting here, we have our own separate issues in life and certain things that we need to address. Like Pastor James said, we need to declare the word of God into our lives. We need to speak it out. So what will be the problems? Tonight, I hope I can speak to you and it will minister to you tonight. Okay. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 24. This is what Jesus said. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, and when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So this is the word of God for us, whatever we say. So we must believe in it. So like what we're saying right now about deliverance or healing, we're going to talk about it so that you will understand, you know, some of the things that we are going through. Okay. Next. Now, the mountain is the problem in our lives. The mountain is anything that is contrary to the word of God for your life. It slows you down and can impede your progress in your life and my life. And in the kingdom of God, whenever you want to get involved in the things of God, there will be obstacle. And we don't understand why this obstacle seems to be coming. And the challenge seems to be getting greater and greater. Like many people, when they pray, now you have to understand it. Many people, when they pray, they describe the mountain in full detail to God. Do you think the Lord, your God, is not aware of it? Right? So we don't need to explain everything to God. He knows. Okay. Next. Now, some of us will ask God to speak to our mountain. Okay. So God, you speak on my behalf. God will never do what he has commanded you to do. You have to do it. It is our responsibility to speak and command the mountain in our lives to be removed. This is what we have to do. Jesus have done his work already. He was crucified on the cross. He came back alive. And then he said, all authority I have given unto you. So the authority is given to us to do. So we must speak. We must command. We cannot go and tell, Lord, you do this. You do that. You do that. He said, I have commanded you to do, but you are commanding me to do. So, you know, so we have to understand that. Jesus didn't tell us to pray to God about our mountain. God told us to speak to the mountain in his name. Amen. So we must speak in his name. Next. Now, if you don't speak to your mountain will speak to you. Now, we know that the devil will always have this against the people of God. Whatever God says, he will say the opposite of what God said to you. Now, there is a devil. The devil has got a narrative for all of us. He speaks the opposite of what God says. God says you are healed. God says you are delivered. God says you are blessed. But he will continue to say you are not blessed. He will continue to say you are cursed. So whichever voice you listen to, most of the time, that you will follow. That will become like your God because you listen to the voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So are we hearing the voice of God? Sometimes we could hear the voice of the enemy. And the enemy's voice is never good. You are doomed. You are dead. And the enemy put fear into every one of us. So let's speak what God wants us to speak. What God wants us to do. Okay? So, but how do I go about this? Let me bring you a scenario that a lady that I prayed for about 10 years ago. And she was our church member. And suddenly one day she suffered a pain in her navel and the pain was terrible. And there was like somebody stabbed into her navel, into her stomach. Okay, the pain was so consistent and so painful. So she had to stop work. She had to, she took sabbatical for 2-3 months. The boss told her that you need to rest, cure yourself and do something about yourself. Then you come back. And she was in pain. So when I was called to visit her, her husband said, please, please come. Come and pray for my wife. So I went there. To pray for her. So I asked questions, okay? Because I don't know what happened to her. So she told me at that time, 16 years ago, she said, when I accepted Jesus as my personal savior, 2 weeks down the road, I was in my home. My husband was tending to the garden outside. Our door was open, the front door was open. And she was sitting at the hall. And all of a sudden, she had a gust of wind started to blow from behind her. And the front of the door slammed very hard. So the husband came in to the door and said, what happened? Why did you slam the door? She said, I did not slam the door. The door slammed by itself. There was a gust of wind. The husband said, gust of wind from inside the house. It should be from outside of the house. So they just left it. And then that night, while she was taking her bath, suddenly she fell onto the floor. She was fainted. She fainted. And then the husband took her to the hospital. And then they diagnosed her and then they checked her. And then suddenly the doctor gave her some medication, something like Prozac for her. She has been taking it for 16 years, ever since. Now she's been Christian for 16 years. So then I asked her a question. How about your family members? And she told me my father and my mother, they are mediums, Chinese mediums. And they got involved in the occult. They do all sorts of things, okay? Now I begin to understand what actually took place. So what I did for her is I spoke to the mountain that troubled her. Her mountain, I said, just relax. Her husband was with me, only 3 of us. I said, just close your eyes, take a deep breath. As you breathe in, I will say, breathe in the breath of the Almighty God into your bosom. Okay? She said, yes. Okay. She took a deep breath. Just about 2-3 seconds after that, she started to burst into a scream. She was screaming out of her lungs, I tell you, so loud. Until the neighbors, I think, can hear her scream. You know, she's so loud. So after 15 seconds or so, suddenly she stopped. So I asked her, why the scream? She said, no, I did not scream. I said, you scream very loud. The husband said, I think our neighbor can hear your scream. You know, it was so loud. So I asked her, if you did not scream, then what was that? And she said that when you said the wind come out of me, that came into my body 16 years ago, come out of me. So immediately I felt a big gust of wind flowing out from my inner being and out of my mouth, and it was shooting out of the door. And that's what happened. So when she explained everything, so I asked the question, how is your pain now? She began to touch her stomach and said, the pain has disappeared. The pain is gone, you know, no more pain. So when we speak to that particular mountain of our lives, that mountain has to go, that demon has to go, you know. So all the thing, all the pain for the last 3 months she had disappeared. I met her. There's about after 8, 9 years of that incident, I met her. She was bubbly and walking around. I said, hey, how are you? How was those things before? He said, they have left me since the day you prayed for me. So sometimes we have issues in our life. We do not know what happened. So I have a message last time. I have a message that says that there are 5 factors that why we fall sick. You know, the first factor is sin factor. The second is demon factors. Jesus cast the demon out, but the boy began to speak. And the sin factor is that thy sin has forgiven thee. The man walk, you know. And then glory factor, where Lazarus died and it was reserved for the glory of God, you know. And Lazarus came back. And then the food factor, you know, you are what you eat. If you eat a lot of fat every day, then you'll be fatty. Okay, and then something a lot of people do not agree or find it hard to comprehend is the generational thing. So these are the 5 things that I talk about. So for her, I knew it was a spiritual thing. It was a demonic activity that's in her life because her parents and her relatives are all involved in the occult. So the enemy took opportunity to come in and disturb her. Okay, next. Now, cast the problems out of your life. Command the issue out of your life. Rebuild them and tell them to go in Jesus' name. Send them back to a place like, no, go back to where you came from. No, they know where they came from, okay? They know exactly where they came from. They have a domain, okay? A domain that you cannot touch. Or else, where are they going to be? They have a domain. So we say to them, go back to where they came from. They know exactly what we are saying. Some people say, what if you tell them to go back and they went back to the person who passed the thing to them? You know, I say, no. That person is healed, delivered. It will not go back to the other person. It will go back to where they came from, back to their own home. But we cannot cast them to hell because the time is not up yet. Okay, you don't try to do that because there are people who did it and the demon will speak, my time is not up yet, you know. Okay, next. Another thing is that the devil will remind us, he will constantly remind us what we want to forget. A lot of things you and I want to forget. The older you live on this planet, the more things you want to forget, those unholy thing, ungodly thing you want to forget. Then also, the devil will also tell you what you don't want to hear. You see, he's always coming at you. He's always speaking, all right? Like if you don't speak back to them, they will continue to speak back to you. Like Adam and Eve did not speak. You know, Adam did not speak to the devil, but God said to him, he just listen and accept it. Then fast forward, Jesus was also tempted the same way. The demon, the devil, Satan came and tempted Jesus. Three temptations, exactly the same what Adam and Eve was tempted. And Jesus spoke the word of God to the devil. Men shall not live by bread alone. And all this. And when he's done with the third temptation, the Bible tells me, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the devil left him. If you don't speak, they will not leave. When you speak, they will leave. If you don't speak, they keep on saying to you, speaking to you. So this is our challenge. The word of God is free. You and I can speak anytime. Okay? Now, the Roman centurion, okay, this is a very famous, Luke 7, verse 7 to 9. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, Jesus, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. The power of the word of God. This man knows the power and the authority that comes along with the word of Jesus. For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Next. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. Now, this Roman soldier, he's not even Jewish. He doesn't know the law. He doesn't know the commandment of God. All he knows is the commandment that comes, the command that comes from his bosses, from Caesar and all these people, you know, the authority. He knows, and he recognized the authority that the upper man has. So he knows that Jesus, you have that. So when you just say the word, and I'll be fine. My maid will be fine. My servant will be fine. You just speak the word, because there's power in the word of God. You see, the word of God can travel the distance. He is here and his servant is somewhere else. The power of the word will travel instantaneously. The servant was healed. So we can also do the same. Pray for people from afar. We are not separated by distance, because the word of God knows no distance. Okay. In Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word. This is the same like what the soldier was saying. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If destructions need healing, you got issues in your body, just speak the word and send the word to those who need it. And the centurion knows his command comes with authority. The word of God comes with authority. Jesus is the word. If he has no authority, then our faith in him is in vain. This is why we need to strengthen ourselves and make ourselves strong and believing that the word of God is powerful. But sometimes you hear Christians speak as if God is not powerful. God has no healing. You know, God has got no message for you, you know. So, but the word of God says God is, you know, the word. So when you speak the word, simple word, just speak the word, and you know how it works. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, I for my session, I quote a lot of scriptures, but this one, I cut down quite a number. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So you believe, you better speak. So your speaking will also tell you whether you believe or not. Okay? We must speak so that we will be protected by the word of God. We'll be strengthened by the word of God. Okay. In John 6:63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life to you. The word of God is life. When you speak, life come into being. In Proverbs 18:21, it says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you love death, if we speak about death, I'm sure going to die and fearful and talk about fear, talk about all the negative thing, right? You will eat the fruit of death. But when you speak life, okay, to anyone, to yourself, to your environment, you will eat the fruit of life. That's exactly what the word of God will do for you when you speak life into your dead situation, when you speak life to an environment that is hopeless. But when the word of God comes into that environment, it gives life and it bless you. And you speak to about anyone, it will bless you. It will bless them, okay? That's the power of the word from our tongue. Amen. Now, in healing and in deliverance ministry that I am involved in, we do not ask or do not beg. We command in Jesus' name. You don't go around and tell the, they say you're casting out demons, manifestation takes place. You don't go and tell the spirit, can you please don't manifest? Can you please come out? Can you please, I mean, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, okay? We work together. No such thing. You must give the command. They recognize it. When you give the command, you give in the authority that God has given you. When you command, they will leave. Don't dilly-dally. Don't talk too much. You know, speak the word, command it, and it shall leave you. Because these are the testimonies. These are the stories in the Bible. Okay, we have read throughout. When God spoke, things begin to happen. The children of Israel were free. Amen? All right, next. Now, next one, I would like to tell you this. Speak the truth to yourself. We hardly speak any truth to ourselves, but sometimes we speak to others. What's wrong when you speak to yourself? It's the word of God that's coming to you, you know? It's the word of God that come and overwhelm you. It's nothing else because you are speaking his word to yourself, not just to others, but to ourselves. We need to do that. We need to learn how to use the word of God to fight for us. Amen. Okay. Let me tell you this story, okay? Now in Psalms 42, verse 1 to verse 5. To the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, God? My tears have been my food day and night. You know, he's been crying. He's been having issues and problems and all the day and night. I mean, it troubles him. Day and night. Now he's like telling God all of these things. Now, while they continually to say to me, where is your God? The accusation, where is your God? To some people may say, where is your ministry? Where is your healing? Where is your finances? Where is this? Where is that? You know, and we cannot take it because why the bombardment that comes from the pit of hell, okay, sometimes comes through people that we know and say, where is that God? Is always challenging you. Always talking down on you. Always talk about your failure. When you want to speak about success, they talk about your failure. So if a friend always come around and talk about your failure, he's not a real friend. Indirectly, he's condemning you. Just like the devil, when you keep on telling you, where is this? Huh? Did God say this? Did God tell you this? Did God promise you this? God has already promised us in his word. We just need to take his word and claim it and declare it unto ourselves and to the environment around us. Change the environment. You change your word, you change the environment. Amen. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I poured out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Hallelujah. With a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you troubled within me? You used to be very jovial. You used to go and do a lot of things. Have fellowship. Praise God. Sing and dance. You know? Why are you troubled? So This is what happening. So what he did right now, he changed his word, he changed his language, and he starts saying hope. He's telling himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, the psalmist David, the psalmist was feeling deep sorrow, and he challenges himself with the truth. You may have been through some intense trial, like especially now with COVID, okay, maybe earthquake. Some of the people may be affected by it. Intense trial. Huh? What sort of a trial? Financial, emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. This thing has cornered every one of us into a corner, put you in behind four walls, and it seems like there's no way out. This is an intense trial. What can I do? Where is the answer coming from? What am I going to do right now? But I'm telling you, it's not the end yet. Don't do the unthinkable. Don't try to do things which is not right. Some people may even think of committing suicide. In Malaysia, so many people committed suicide the last few months. That is not the answer. That's not the end. If you ever contemplate suicide, I say stop right now in Jesus' name. I speak against that suicidal spirit and the spirit of death out of all of us. In Jesus' name, that you will not begin to speak to any one of us. There is always a way out in Christ Jesus. Amen. Feeling weary and lost all hope, but it's not the end yet. God is not done with you. There are things that is coming. Rise up like psalmist begin to praise God and seek his face and speak the truth to yourselves. Call to mind the word of the Lord to deliver you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, the Lord is my portion. This is what we need to do. Many times we forget. We play into the tune of the enemy. And he will continue to sing songs to you, or to say a song to you. And then you feel very bad about yourself. Stop that. Speak what God is saying. Sing the songs that God wants you to sing. Amen. So before that, I will bring you a story. I did the same thing for this lady. And this lady is a very successful lady. She and her husband, they own a wholesale company, and very big. And they were they brought some tea from under their name. Some of you may have heard of Ahmad Tea. And she was in our church, and I have never met her, okay? I was just quite big at the time, about 2000. I've never met her in my life. And I was asked by another pastor to go together to see her. And she had been missing from church for 4 years. And she also stopped working for 4 years. So when I went into the home, and she was only 40-something, 41, 42. I think they were around that age. This is about a few years back. And she looked like an old woman. She was like hunchback, you know, and she walked like in fear, in pain. And I don't know what's wrong with her. So we sat down, we talked, and she said she's on hormone pills, a lot of hormone thing, you know, to strengthen her. She's very weak. So we talked, and then I prayed for her. When I started to pray for her, she started to vomit and puke out everything. I prayed for her for 2 hours, nonstop. So after that, because I have to stop, because why, she's weak. But she said, no, I want to continue. Told the maid, give me 2 more tablets. And she took the tablet and said, let's continue. So we were praying and praying and praying. A lot of things came out from her. So what I did was I gave her some material for her to declare. Material like about fear, anxiety, and stress. Pray. Fear not. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. All this, there are about 60 scriptures about fear not, so that she will be affirmed, you know, because the spirit of fear gripped her. And so much so, she dare not even drive out of her house. She dare not even walk out of the house. She was so fearful. So I gave her scriptures, about 20, 30 scriptures about healing. You know, I'm healed in Christ Jesus and all that. So when about who you are in Christ Jesus, who am I? I'm more than a conqueror. There are about 20, 30 scriptures I give. I said to her, take this, recite or pray, and read through this every day, all three. And she did that. So one day she told me, I started to drive today. I said, praise the Lord. I've never driven for 4 years. I started to drive. And I one thing I want to do, I want to go to Australia. The son was studying in Australia. But I want to fly, but I dare not fly. So she consulted the doctor. Doctor said that you can fly domestic flight. Try and see whether you'll be successful or not. So she said, okay. She flew all the way to Penang and then came back and she called me. You know what happened? I flew to Penang. Nothing happened to me. No fear. I was not scared at all. The height of it, no. So before long, she flew to Australia and attended the graduation of the son. And then she flew back. She was so happy. Oh, nothing happened to Australia. It's not happened. Then months later, she flew to London because her daughter was studying in London. And she flew back and said, brother, thank you very much. The fear left me, you know. Then she had not gone back to work yet. So finally, one day she called me and said, I am going back to work tomorrow. The first time since 4 years, I have not stepped into my office. And she went back to her office and started working already a few years now. Praise God. Because why? Speak the truth to yourself. Just now I spoke to the mountain. Now I say, speak to yourself the goodness of God and the power of God. Okay, next. Now, Ephesians 6:17. This is a very powerful scripture. We quote the rest, okay? But 17 is very important, I'm going to tell you. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Next. Now, the word of God is a weapon that we cannot afford not to use. It is an offensive weapon. The rest are not offensive. Only the sword is the offensive. Okay, a lot of us, you know, keep our sword into the scabbard or the sheath. We never draw our sword to fight. What's the purpose of the sword? It's for you to draw and fight. So the word, the sword of the Spirit, it says there, which is the word of God. And the word of God is the sword. So if the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and the word of God must be the sword. Okay, we must make use of it. When we declare the word of the Lord into the atmosphere, we may not see it, but the devil will see it. Not just the word that comes out from our mouth, but the sword that is coming out as well. Hallelujah. So when you speak the word of God, it comes and attacks the enemy. Speak to it. That's why Jesus spoke the word of God when he was tempted. All the three questions he answered, all found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and chapter 8, if I'm not mistaken. Three times he answered. So the word of God is powerful. He will cut the enemy. So how do I equate all these things? How do I give you reference? Okay, next will be the reference. Let us read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. It says here, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Next. Come on. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, follow him on white horses. Now, 15. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. at the end of the time, end of the day, in end time, Jesus will come to judge the world. His mouth come out with a sharp sword. With it, he should smite the nations. So the sharp sword that comes out for your mouth and my mouth will come and strike the enemy. Okay? And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, his name is called Faithful and True. His name is called the Word of God. His name is called King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. Hallelujah. Shall we lift our hands and praise him? Hallelujah. I'm closing it now, right now. I'm going to pray for you. And he is the King of all kings. He's your healer. I speak the word of God into you. I speak against all these things that is coming against every one of us here right now in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, every sickness and disease, I cast you out from every one of them. I cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. Every demonic spirit that comes that oppresses the people of God, I cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. You have no power over them because the name of Jesus is more powerful. And the blood of Jesus will flow from the crown of their heads right unto the sole of their very feet, and it will bless them. It will protect them. And the angels of God will also encamp round about every one of them who's listening to me right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak the power of God into you. I speak the healing touch of the Lord Jesus. There is a way out. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. Nothing the devil can do to stop you, because you have a greater power. There is the power of the word of God, the power of the Lord God Almighty. I bless you in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, I bless you. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray for all of you. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen.